Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Elora Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarben in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I play Otto, a spring sage from Hanweir, sworn to the land, wandering the plain and setting wrongs to right with his ursine companion, Bojo.
Maybe it was the sound of Elora, Eric, Cuin, and Ogvar arriving through a tear in the fabric of space that sent some small horned creatures scurrying and screaming in alarm as our companions put in their appearance on the ship's forecastle. Moments later, after vibrations were felt through the vessel, some mighty monstrosities in the form of two lumbering lumps of clay bearing vaguely humanoid shapes presented on deck, and it wasn't for a parley. Elora's attempts to curb their advancement were for naught, her castings cursed to failure as the golems seemed immune to her invocations. Basting the boards on which they balanced with a decent dose of grease presented problems for the aggressors and bought our heroes valuable time. Also finding that piercing with projectiles offered no notable benefits either, and the realisation that an alternative plan of attack was required, the ranger raced off in search of a suitable cargo net. And, as the camera panned skywards, we saw a soaring giant eagle engaged in ensnaring some fiendish feathered foes by cleverly conjuring some mid-air creepers. But now, it is time to rejoin a somewhat frenetic fray. Episode 133, Muddy Mutiny.
So Ogvar, make me a reflex save, and Cuin and Eric will also make one at lower DCs.
Okay, Ogvar rolled a 12 plus an 11, which is a 23.
You are safe from the grease.
That's a 10 plus 6, 16.
16, you are able to stay on your feet, you are able to stay balanced. However, Eric rolling a 4 plus a 3 for 7 on his reflex save is going to fall flat on his ass as this humongous creature. It is terrifically heavy. Bang! Onto the ground. And he loses his footing in the process.
Please don't tell me that he knocks himself out with
his He's not going to knock.
He's slapping a magic missile. Fires off into the...
Okay.
At this point, we could really do with a mobile kiln, wouldn't we? Fire these lot.
So, top of the round, Elora. What are you doing?
I think Laura would quickly run down the steps from where her current position is. Is she on the prow on the foredeck?
You're in that area, so you're running down onto the foredeck, yeah.
Yeah, so running downstairs onto there, towards where Ogvar and Cuin are. The one golem is laying in the grease, isn't it?
Both of them are down.
Okay. Can I get close enough to it without actually slipping in my own grease spell? Not the netted one, the other one. Can I actually lean in through the grease to actually, because he's quite large, can I actually get to him? Stay outside of the grease?
Yeah.
So could I lean in, reach in, without stepping in the grease, but...
So they do occupy a 10-foot space, so I'm going to say yes, you can reach them.
Right. And how far apart are the two golems?
They are right next to each other. They are cosy, cosy.
Right. First thing she's going to do is she's going to run down to the first golem, not the one that Ogvar has netted.
Okay.
She is going to, while she's running, she's going to be whipping out of her bag a... She's going to try the same trick that she was trying to do with the vampire. She's going to whip out the burrowing piton.
Nice.
Because she's looking at this thing. She's not entirely sure what it is, but she can see it's made of clay. So she's going to take a flyer and she's going to pull the burrowing piton out and she is going to slam this burrowing piton. How far has she travelled from off the onto the foredeck?
So it's probably going to take 25 foot of your movement to manoeuvre around.
Okay, so she's going to do that from Ogvar's side. And then the other 5 foot of her movement, once she slammed this pit on in, is to just move 5 foot more towards Ogvar.
Okay, so you won't...
So she's going to run down, slam the burrowing pit on in, and then move the other 5 feet towards Ogvar.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So you're kind of coming towards the top side, like the north part of the deck here. Kind of coming round and then moving slightly further. Okay, excellent. Do you have the reference for the burrowing piton by any chance?
I do. It says they're covered with various runes and sigils. They burrow into earth, rock and stone, providing secure support, etc. But one of the things that they can do is you can use a burrowing piton in melee, which deals 1d8 points of damage, and it gives x3 critical against stone golems, clay golems, and earth elementals.
Okay, so I'm not going to make you roll to hit, because this is a massive creature. It is humongous. It's, you know, vaguely humanoid. You're going to know where to kind of roughly hit to get centre of mass here. So you're going to automatically hit with this. So what was the damage?
It's x3 critical on a 1d8 against clay golems.
Okay, so you're going to roll that 1d8 and then you're going to multiply the answer by 3.
Okay, so I rolled a 3. So triple, that is a 9 points of damage to it. And then that extra 5 foot of movement, she's going to move towards Ogvar. And just say, Ogvar, what can I do to help? And that's all she's going to say.
Okay, nice. So you do 81, not 81, sorry. You do that.
Amazing!
Do it!
So you do 9 points of damage to this golem. I imagine you run down, you kind of cloak flapping at your heels, absolutely bury this piton in, you're coming proper overhead. You'll see the runes light up as you activate the item, and it almost kind of corkscrews and buries down into this golem's, what you would say is this chest cavity, this massive kind of, it's barrel chested, it's, you know, over-exaggerated, you know, across, it's got massive kind of width and girth to it. You bury it in, you see the runes light up, and it this piton just disappears, sinking into the clay, leaving this hole, and you just see the piton disappearing deep into the golem's core. Okay, so you move off and you go to join Ogvar. Excellent. Okay, yes. Is that the end of your turn?
That's me done.
Okay, so next up, Ogvar.
Okay, so Ogvar seeing Laura run over towards him and claiming, what can I do to help? He'll sort of gather up what he can of the net, if this is possible. Can you gather up what's left of the net and try and drag the golem with aid of the grease underneath? And basically, the plan is to try and drag the golem off the edge of the boat.
Okay, so... this is going to be a little bit difficult. You're going to have to make some very, very good checks. And there is also a solid railing, a solid kind of side to the boat as well. So it's not just a flat deck. So you will have that encountered problem. You can attempt to drag it if you wish.
Okay, well, given that in light then, I assume there was like a off the edge of the gangplank or something, it could have gone, there would have been an opening somewhere.
Okay, let's make a check for that then. Okay, so it's a fairly big ship. You're going to have... There are going to be multiple areas where the side of the ship is open to allow for things like gangplanks, cargo movement. So let's say you're on a middle deck, it's not near the cargo. You have a 25% chance of there being an opening here. Pick me that increment.
Can I have 25 to 50, please?
25 to 50. Bang on. So yes, you can see, perhaps it's been partially obscured by some bits of crate, but closer inspection you can see that yes indeed there is a kind of a gap where you could drag something over the edge easy peasy. Okay.
So what I would like to do, is that like free action as such? Is that just like observing my surroundings?
Yes, that would be a free action. You taking a quick glance around, that is a completely free action.
Yeah, okay. Ogvar's not stupid. I don't think he can move this on his own. He would like to shout for help and then hold his turn until someone can assist him. Is that something that can be done?
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll just shout out and looking at Alora, I need some help moving this big brute. I can't move him on my own.
Okay.
Quick, let's get him off the side. I doubt he's a floater.
Okay, so are you holding that turn, or do you wish to end your turn and pick up that action at the start of next turn? Because currently, in the order, Elora has already gone, so she would not be able to help you this turn with that action.
Yeah, well, just sort of shouting out to anybody who wants to give me a hand, really, yeah, but I'm quite happy to wait until someone's able to help me, yes.
Okay. So that's the... You're holding your turn. Okay, so next up is Eric. Eric will nod. He will move round. He will pick up a section of the net stood by you, Ogvar. And he will then hold his turn, pointedly looking at Kewin. Mr. Kewin, hand! Your wonderful muscles might come in use, sir. Okay, so Kewin, it's your turn.
Well, Kewin goes, okay, and he's going to run round the outside to grab the net as well.
Okay.
And we're going to give it a boost off, are we?
Okay, so you will want to give it a pull. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, try and get him off the edge.
So, Eric, Kewin, and Ogvar, let's look at setting a DC to start off with, because these golems are hilariously heavy. They are hilariously heavy. I know they're hilariously heavy. I can't see where it's hilariously heavy. I saw it literally 5 minutes ago and it's gone. Yeah, about £600 worth of hilariously heavy.
Ooh.
Okay, factor in the weight of the net itself. This is going to be quite heavy net because it's a cargo net. Let's say a combined DC. So, Eric, Ogvar, and Kewin, you're all going to make me strength checks. If your combined if your combined rolls, including all of your modifiers to that, if your combined rolls max out more than 25, you will be able to move it.
Okay.
So you can all make
Does
me...
the grease help?
I'll get onto that in a minute.
Does grease help with that?
I'll get onto that in a minute. Okay, so you can all make me a strength check.
That's 17 from Kewin.
Okay, so we've got 17.
That's not bad. And that's going to be a 15 from Ogvar, 14 and a 1.
That's a 11 and a 6.
Okay.
For Kewin.
So we're going to go. So we're already up to 32 with that. Eric, bless him, only rolls a 2 with a plus 3 for a 5, so he's not going to be much help here. But you've already hit the DC, which is really, really good. So you were able to drag the golem. The grease will help with this. However, you will have halved movement because you are dragging. As you are only dragging 10 foot to the edge of the boat, you will be able to make this easy peasy.
Okay.
So, between the three of you, Kirin and Ogvar bearing the brunt of this weight, straining with all your might, and Eric doing his best to kind of grab on and contribute something, but not doing particularly well because he's... Although he's very fit and quite physically strong, he's perhaps not used to kind of dragging around 600 pounds plus of clay golem. So, aided by the slippery grease, you drag the net. A golem thrashing to the edge of the ship. All of you, with the exception of Otto, who's up in the air, feel the boat ever so slightly dip to the left as this golem approaches the edge. And with a final heft, the golem, wrapped in the net, tips over the edge of the ship, landing with a humongous splash, this kind of very, very deep, as you get this big object hitting the water, it's a loud slap and then a very large bloop as it hits the surface of the water. And it disappears. It sinks. You don't see any bubbles. It doesn't breathe. It's not going to leave any bubble trail behind. And it disappears into the depths, leaving a oily, orangey-brown smear across the deck from where you've dragged it. There we go.
Has the cargo net gone?
And the net has gone, yes. Okay, so that is
nice one.
The end of your turn. You have dispatched one of the golems. You're pretty sure it's not going to be returning anytime soon. Okay.
Ho.
So.
Does it do what a hippo does and they don't swim, they just walk across the bottom?
Yeah, but water should dissipate mud. Oh, it's clay in it.
Nice try, though.
Okay, so next up is Otto on the wing. What are you doing?
Okay, still in eagle form with these two demonic vultures following me. I am going to try yet another special thing to try and catch them.
Okay.
I've been flying away from the ship. I'm going to wheel around as tightly as I can to go back towards the ship.
Okay.
And as I do, I want to cast Blinding Spittle at them. At one. Ooh.
Okay.
What?
So
Blinding Spittle. So this is a lovely little spell I've got. I get to make a ranged attack minus 4, which gives me a whole plus 4 on the dice. It's a ranged touch attack that, if it hits one, will blind it, unless it can use water or something to clear its eyes. My hope is that...
It's what you did to the dragon eel, isn't it?
And also way back when against the spider as well. And my hope is that they're going to find it really difficult manoeuvring in the air in the right direction if they don't know which way I'm in.
That'll do it. Okay, so make me that ranged touch attack then, please.
With that whole plus 4, this is going to go. Ranged touch attack of just 12, which might not be enough.
It hits.
I didn't see that coming.
Neither did it, apparently.
Not going to see very much for a while now.
Okay, yeah. So you take a sharp wheel about, your avian throat working overtime as you hock up a lurgy.
A big lurgy.
And yeah, you direct strike on this on one of these birds. You see kind of this kind of green, phlegmy glob completely coat its face like a really bad eye mask. And yeah, it squawks in surprise and promptly veers off course. Yeah, so you've certainly distracted one at least, if not sent it off course.
And then I would just continue to fly back over the ship, trying to get an eye on what's happening.
Okay.
Knowing I've got one morsel on my tail, so to speak.
Okay, so flying back towards the ship, it is now the birds' turn. So, start of the round, these birds, the 17 trapped in your thorn wall, they are still struggling to get out. So, what was the DC required?
25
on a strength check. Okay, yeah. So let's see. Was it a saving throw or just a check?
Let me just double check. It's a strength check, not a saving throw.
Strength check. Okay, nice. So with a 19 plus a 6, that's 25.
That would be enough.
Yeah.
They would be free. Oh, blasted things. Okay.
Oh no.
So the one bird that is left tailing you, that one is going to remain behind you. It cannot fly as fast as you, so it will still follow you round, but it will remain behind you. But as you turn your attention back towards the boat, the squawking and thrashing within your thorn wall grows stronger and stronger. And one by one, you begin to see these birds breaking through. They've spent 3 rounds trapped with this wall anyways. And they are popping out, dropping down and picking up, taking to the wing again. You see feathers flying everywhere. They are breaking free, and they are now, as you watch, 17 of these birds reemerge and take to the wing, beginning to swarm above the boat.
Can anyone speak bird? Because if you can hear Otto swearing loudly.
Okay, so next up we have the singular remaining golem on the deck. So the golem on the deck will attempt to get up, which is a DC what dexterity check?
Oh, it's a DC 10 balance check.
Okay, so the golem will stand back up, and as it begins to take some steps forward, it shall make a balance check, which is a... With a 15 minus 1, 14, the golem is back up and moving. Advancing forwards towards... Actually, it's probably going to advance sideways towards the three of you clustered at the edge of the deck. So, standing up is going to be a full round action for it, so it is now back on its feet successfully. So, next up, top of the round, so we are going into round 5 of Greece, Elora, for reference. It is your turn.
The first thing Elora is going to do is, obviously, having this golem just tipped over the side, she suddenly has a moment of clarity, and her attention is taken away from the other golem, despite the fact that it's just stood up, and she is going to be struck with a horrific thought that when she left to Dim Door to the ship, she had intended to send Rowan off before her, to allow, because of his travel speed, it would take him, it's going to be another like 11 rounds. It's going to be a while before he arrives, because his travel speed is obviously a lot slower. But she now realises that, seeing as she's seen this golem dragged across the deck on the grease that she's cast, she's realised that because she has cast other spells and they've ended up in a battle sooner than she expected, it has left Rowan with a failed invisibility spell. So she's now aware of the fact that Rowan is flying somewhere towards the ship where all these birds are. She's briefly going to look to the heavens at what's going on and be rather horrified at the fact that Rowan has no idea that he is now visible. So she's going to use her turn to do her empathic link to Rowan and basically say to him, Rowan.
You can't.
Be careful.
You can't.
Why?
It's empathic.
Why?
It's empathic.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. So she's not going to say it. She's going to try and convey this in a way that he might understand that he is now visible.
Okay.
Be careful.
Okay. So for everyone...
Like a feeling of extreme danger.
Okay. So for everyone else on deck, as she does her best to communicate this with her mind, you can just see the Laura looking like she's trying to have a tricky shit. Okay. Proper, like, face screwed up and... Yeah. Yeah. She's going a bit red.
Yeah, I don't think she'd do anything else. I don't think she'd cast or she wouldn't move. I think she would be suddenly struck with the horror that all this has gone on, but it suddenly dawned on her that Rowan is now visible because things haven't quite panned out how she wanted them to.
Okay, so you do that.
And I think that's all she'd do.
You do that. Okay, so Ogvar, you're up next. What are you doing?
I think Ogvar will just get himself away from the edge of the edge of the boat.
Yep.
And with nothing really springing to mind, because he's quite chuffed with himself that he's actually managed to hoik one off the edge. I think he will just let an arrow go towards the final one, just trying to make a bit of a dent in it, really.
Okay. Cool. So, roll to hit for me, please.
That's going to be a 24. A 10 plus a 14.
Yeah, so a 24 will hit. Roll the damage.
Okay. That's going to be 7. It's going to be a 6 plus a 1, please.
Okay. Perhaps to burst your bubble a little bit, as you release this arrow, it feels good, it flies well. You feel really, really good about this arrow. However, like previous attempts, it sinks in and just seemingly has no effect whatsoever.
Okay, no problem. Just a distraction, if nothing else.
Yeah. Okay, is that the end of your turn?
Yeah, I'd obviously just use his movement to keep as far away as he can, but yeah, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. So, Eric is up next. So, Eric is going to move away from the edge, similarly to you, Ogvar, perhaps in the opposite direction, moving more towards the staircase. He's just going to take a step back and shout out to the rest of you. It would appear that those birds have broken free. Perhaps a cause for concern? It's looking a bit dicey. Okay, so next up in the round is Kewin.
Right, Kewin's going to try and direct and sense if is this golem evil.
Okay, so you just drop to a knee and cast your detect evil.
Yeah, just a
okay. So let's see. So you cast your detect evil, you get no feedback whatsoever. Very much the same as when you're casting your detect evil in a general area and you've got objects around. It very much just feels like you're casting detect evil on an object. There's no feedback whatsoever. It's just neutral.
Okay. Is it now out of the grease?
No, it is still stood within the grease.
Right. Well, in that case, can I get within 10 foot of it without being in the grease?
Yeah, you can manoeuvre yourself around the edge of the grease. Yeah, it's a large creature.
And he's up. And I'm going to take a whack at it.
Okay.
With my great sword.
Nice. Okay, so roll to hit.
That's 19 plus 16, 35.
That will hit, yeah. That's going to hit. Okay, so you can roll your damage on that.
That's 10 plus 6, 16.
Nice, okay.
Do I get a second shot?
No, because...
Just detect evils.
No, because you've moved.
Do you get the extra D4 on that? Or D6 or whatever it is?
What's up? No, because we've already had it's already begun, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's only on the first round of action.
Yeah. So you won't get the second attack because you've moved. You haven't taken the full round action to take those two. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So is that where you're ending your turn?
Yep.
Okay, nice. So yeah, you swing your greatsword at it. You kind of manoeuvre around the edge of the grease, this oily slick across the deck. And you take a good cleave at it with your greatsword. It is tough. It is exactly as you would imagine, like trying to cut into a lump of solid clay. It is, you know, your sword does not pass through it easily. You have to put a heck of a lot of force into it. And you can see that you have done some damage. Yeah, you can see that your sword has dug in significantly deep. However, it's not a clean swing and cut, and it's definitely not done as much damage as it would have done on a less on a kind of more, you know, kind of meaty opponent, let's say.
Yep.
Okay, so next up is Otto.
Okay. I'm looking ahead and I'm just seeing this big cloud of birds breaking free of this wall of thorns.
Yep.
First thing is to just continue to sweat.
What was that? Fucker!
Second... I think that's a very good impression. I think you should do that more. yeah, not really set up to deal with this number of opponents at the moment, so we're going to try and get their attention again by flying fairly close to them and then winging round to one side, making as much noise as I can, try and just get them to follow me.
Yes, yeah, so you're
that's
just
the main thing to do there.
You're going
to
try and bait them. Okay, let's have a charisma roll again. Let's see how many you grab the attention of.
Well, that's a pretty good start for the day. That's a nat 20.
Oh, no. Nice.
And I have a plus 3.
Okay. Peachy. Right, yeah. So you shoot off using your full speed towards these birds. You are properly, like, proper swearing in bird. Getting as much attention as possible. You are making a ton of noise. Perhaps everyone on the deck, you look up and you just see kind of an angry eagle just as it goes. You take a very tight wheel, and perhaps being a bit peed off that they've broken free and they've escaped your ever so clever entrapment, you know, you take it quite close. I mean, you are brushing feathers, wheeling around, and they are locked onto you, and you take the entire flock. You now have 18 of these birds tailing after you, and perhaps you have to drop the speed a bit because you realise you're peeling away a bit too fast. But yeah, the entire kind of cloud of birds above, they were kind of circling round in this kind of big, almost like a aerial maelstrom of feathers and black, and just a kind of black aura. They are now streaking off after you as you shoot across the sky. Okay.
So what you're saying is, good news, I got all their attention, and bad news, I've got all of their attention.
Yes, exactly. The other really good
I'm
news
I'm flapping
is...
really hard. I'm trying to obviously not get too far ahead of them, as you know it, but at the same time, I want to have some distance between us as well.
I just get the image of that's Otto screams overhead, you get the deja vu as he goes.
No, it's more the bark, 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 bark.
Okay, so that's the end of your turn. You're not doing anything else? Excellent. Okay, so the cloud of birds is up next. They are purely chasing after you. They are not in close enough range to actually be able to get up to you and do anything at all. They are just chasing you at this point. You've fully got them kind of captured, enraged. You've got their attention. They are pretty much locked on. So Next up, end of the round, is the golem, which is now on its feet. So, I'm going to roll a percentile. Someone pick me a number.
Can I just cut in for a moment? I did this wrong last time with the grease. It was supposed to be a reflex save or fall, but just so that you know that it says a creature that tries to walk within or through the area of grease, it can do so at half its normal speed with a DC 10 balance check. That's what the DC 10 check was.
Okay.
So what's the DC on the reflex that's what I can't figure out. Is that against your spell DC?
No, it doesn't say.
It's against your
spell DC.
Spell DC.
Sure.
Yes, spell DC.
So what's your...
Which is a lot higher.
Yeah, so it shouldn't have gone.
What is your spell DC?
It'll
be on your magic sheet.
It's 15.
Okay, so starting off in the grease, it's going to have to make a reflex save, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so with an 18 rolled plus a 2, it's going to be fine. So...
Nice.
I'm going to roll, for unspecified reasons, a percentile. Does somebody want to give me a number?
22.
22. Wow.
If you're at 22, I'm impressed.
Well, it's a good thing I rolled a 64 then. So, the first thing this golem is going to do, now that it has got its legs back under it, and it is quite happy... chilling, it is going to take a swing for the nearest living creature to it, which just so happens to be Cuban. So it is going to roll a slam attack with a 6 plus 14, 20 to hit.
Yep.
Okay, that is unfortunate. Okay, so I'm going to roll 2d10. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so 2d10, that is 18 plus 7 points of damage, giving you 25 points of damage as it smashes this kind of blocky arm into your chest, Kewin, knocking you for 6.
22.
And as a paladin, Kewin, do you have... a immunity to curses of any kind?
I've got immunity to fear. I don't know about curses. I don't think so. You'll have to let me have a look at the book for that. It's not one that comes up very often.
Or from a cleric, yeah.
Oh yes, I've got cleric as well.
Oh, you might.
If either of your classes grants you curse... immunity or resistance, squeak
which
now.
Which are you looking up? Are you looking at paladin or cleric? I'll look at the other
one. I'll look at cleric.
Okay. You might have a cleric. Paladin, hang on. Referring to the book. Paladin.
I have a mug at home that says, "Beware the smiling DM." I'm looking at Yaz's face.
Yeah. Okay, so, the big reveal. Drum roll, please. So, Cuin. That hit you took from the golem. It was a crushing blow. It's not going to have broken skin. It's not like a slash wound or a stab wound. You know, there's no obvious kind of breakage of the skin. But what you will have is... a vast amount of bruising, perhaps some damaged ribs from this, which, you know, prang with spikes of pain every time you breathe in. So the damage is underneath the surface, but you can already feel the blood pooling as bruises begin to blossom across your skin. However, what you also feel is this damage caused by this golem, this unnatural creature, as a paladin, as now with a cleric class, a leveling cleric as well, you are very attuned to kind of healing and, you know, kind of self-recovery. You feel that this wound that has been caused by this creature has a resistance to your healing abilities. And what you've been affected by is a cursed wound. So this damage will not heal naturally. It will not heal overnight, so this, until you can get fixed up and resolved, this is not something that will heal in a standard long rest. And this is actually resistant to healing spells as well. To cast a healing spell, you will have to succeed on a DC 26 cast level check, or the spell will have no effect. So that 25 points of damage that you have just taken, I've got a note of it. 25.
I've got a finger that takes three. My gem takes 3 points.
Okay.
Straight away.
Right, yeah, okay, so that's fine then. So yes, 22 points then. So that 22 points of damage will not be healed normally and will not heal overnight.
Okay,
so we are now going into round 7 of combat. Melora, for your reference, how long does grease last?
It's 10 rounds, so it's got another 3 rounds.
And this one, right? Yeah.
4 rounds.
Yeah, okay. So Melora, you're at the top of the round, what are you doing? You've just seen Kirin take this absolutely massive blow. And this golem, its arms are like, they are stumps, they don't have defined fingers, it is like just a pure lump of clay. Big blodge, and it's just smacked Kirin straight in the chest.
I think her face would initially register abject shock. I think she would go with gut instinct, and what would come to her is, how far away from her is it? It must be up close to her.
It's probably going to be about 20 foot maximum.
Right. How close is it to Kirin?
It's up in his grill. They're stood next to each other.
Right. I think she will walk over to... No, she's going to go with her first. She's going to go with her first thought. What would come to her is she is going to cast Orb of Acid directly onto this golem. Is the first thing she's going to do.
Okay. With the benefit of this being between sessions and 4 weeks in between, do you wish to cast your mind back to what happened last time you cast Acid?
No. It has spell resistance.
No, it heals it.
Well, it has spell resistance, doesn't
no,
it?
No, acid heals the golem.
The acid specifically heals him.
Yes.
Oh!
This is why I'm saying with 4 weeks in between, I'm giving you the benefit there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Alright, no, I didn't remember that specific. I knew it had resistance, but... Okay, in that case, I think... I don't think she'd really know what to do at this stage. I think she will move over to Kirin, who is how far away from her? 20 foot?
But yeah, it's going to be about that, yeah, 20 foot.
Yeah, I think she would move over to Kirin. I think she would grab his arm and just say, just follow me, just follow me. And I think she's going to initially cast Dimension Door and put them back onto the higher position at the far end of at the end of the boat that they came in on, back up the steps to put some distance initially.
Okay, so you're casting...
I think that would be her gut instinct.
Okay, so you're casting Dimdor.
Yeah.
Which is going to provoke an attack of opportunity.
Yes, because it's right. Well, I've said it now, so I'm doing it.
So, I really hope this is low.
So do I. Carry on. Said it now.
With an 18 plus 14, that is 32 to hit you.
Which in general balance is nice and low.
I think it's going to hit me.
I'd say so. So that is going to be 7 plus 3, 10 plus 7, 17 points of damage. Does that take it off your false life? Is there any spillover off the false life?
Yeah, that would just use all of my temp HP, that's all.
Okay, so the 17 points of damage, as you cast Dim Door, and you're pulling Kieran along with you?
Well, as long as he's not resisting me, yeah? Otherwise, I'll be going on my own.
I'm assuming...
I could just say to him, just come with me. I'm assuming he'd be willing, but if he isn't, he isn't.
He's a crumpled mess.
Yep, okay. So, as you cast Dim Door, you've got a hand on Kieran pulling him away. You cast Dim Door. The creature with quite astonishingly quick reflexes also clips you with this big, blocky kind of lump of a hand, catching you in the side as well. However, you have previously cast False Life upon yourself, and you feel that extra boost of health which you magically imbued within your skin. You feel that fade away and fizzle, almost kind of eaten and gnawed away as this blow is absorbed by almost like a thin layer of magic which has coated your body. You now no longer benefit from the effects of False Life. You are back down to just your standard hit points. However, the cursed wound effect does not take hold.
Right, when she reappear right back where they started on the top section, on up the stairs, on the front set. I think it was the front of the deck we landed on? Front
Forecastle.
Of the deck, on the fore deck, yeah. I think she would immediately, when they landed and reappeared, she would turn to Kieran very quickly and just say, "We need to regroup. These things hit hard." And that's all she would probably have time to say.
Okay.
She'd still be clutching his arm at that point anyway.
Okay, Rick?
Point of order. Do we need a concentration check to actually cast the spell? When taking damage during an action, the chance that it gets disrupted. Its DC is 10 plus damage dealt.
Yep.
So
that's
27.
Yep.
Right.
That's a hard DC.
It is.
Yeah, that's a hard DC.
Thank you, Rick.
What am I rolling here? Concentration plus?
Just roll a concentration check.
I didn't know if you might rule that the false life absorbed it and nothing happened. That was just what I checked.
Let's just roll back a second yet there. Normally I would say yes, but actually saying that the false life, it has absorbed the damage, so she physically hasn't taken any damage. It's just the magical effect which has kind of been eaten away. So I'm going to say on this instance, it will go off without a hitch. Thank you, Rick.
That's right.
Okay, so yeah, you both appear back on the forecastle. Kieran, you are wheezing. Laura, you're not looking... I say you're not looking too good. You would have definitely felt this blow eat away at this, you know, this reserve you've magically imbued yourself with, which is probably quite alarming because that was not a, you know, small amount of magical kind of hit points you'd imbued in yourself there. So, yeah. Okay, and that's the end of your turn, yes?
Yes, that's it.
Okie dokie. So, Ogvar, you're up next.
Okay, so can Ogvar, hearing Alora say we need to regroup, can Ogvar shuffle back a bit towards where they are? But can he, while he's doing this, can he have just a good study of the situation, see if check the memory banks and if he's heard anything about such a creature before, and if there's anything he knows about them that could help the situation.
Yeah, of course. So you can make me a wisdom check, please. Just straight wisdom.
Just straight wisdom, okay. That's not going to be very good. That's a 2 with a +1 to it, so a total of 3.
Total of 3. Yeah. No.
The clay.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of made of mud. It's brown. Yeah. You know that this is some kind of magically created creature. It's not naturally occurring. You can tell that this is made of clay. Aside from that, you don't have any other information as to its tactics or motivations or anything else about this creature. This isn't anything you've ever seen before.
Okay. Oh no. Is that my turn, or have I still got an action?
You've still got an action if you are moving, or yeah, you've got actions.
Okay. Ogvar's going to reach into his thigh quiver and pull out his last sleep arrow, and he's going to try and see if that has any effect.
Okay. Roll to hit then.
Okay, would you say I'm still in 30 foot for a point blank shot or not?
Yes, you are.
Okay. That would be a nat 20.
Oh!
It still does do normal damage as usual, this arrow, wow. But with the added benefit of a DC 11 will save, or else the creature falls asleep.
Okay, so let me just double check this one.
I think I know what you're looking for, but I'm reluctant to go looking because I don't want to look at stat blocks.
Go on, look.
Nope, I'm resisting. I remember enough of them as it is.
Yeah, okay. So, you rolled a nat 20. That is going to hit.
Yep.
So the arrow will fly true. It's a very, very good shot. Do you want to roll me the damage on that one?
Yes, I can, and I will, but I need reminding of what it is.
So
these new crit rolls.
It will be, so your bow is a times two?
Three.
Times three. So roll your damage multiplied by three. Add modifier, I believe.
I thought we had full dice damage or something. I don't want to argue, but...
What is your hit die? What's your damage die?
It's 1d8.
Right, so it'd be 1d8 and then triple it.
Just what we've rolled on the...
And then any modifiers just get added on that aren't...
Roll the dice, multiplied. Triple
yep.
What's on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a 3. It should be triple to a 9. And that plus... The arrow is a plus 1. And a plus, so that's a plus 2, so that's going to be...
11.
11, yes.
Okay, so it is a plumb shot. It lands centre of mass, buries deep, you can barely see the fletching sticking out. Really, really good shot. However, unfortunately, the creature does not appear to slow down in any way. It appears to have no magical effect. The sleep effect on this arrow does not take place.
Okay, no worries.
Okay.
It was worth a shot.
So you've moved back up to be with Qin and Laura, yes?
Yes, please, yeah.
Okay.
So keep the trying to regroup a bit.
Okay, so Eric is up next. Eric will similarly, seeing you hot foot it, Ogvar, he will be in hot pursuit, chase after you. Arriving up on the forecastle, he can obviously see that Qin, you're in a bad way, you're not looking good. I don't really have any spells which I think could affect this. I'm afraid I'm a bit useless here. Okay, next up in the round, Qin.
I'm gonna go, that didn't work out too well. There's nothing I can do. I'm not going down there again. And the crossbow bolts don't do anything. So, that's it. I'm done.
Okay. So, Otto, on the wing, bunch of birdies chasing you. What are you doing?
Okay, we're going to try for trick shot number 3000 at this point. I'm going to cast Luminous Armour on myself.
Okay.
And move forward while I'm now shining like a beacon and really have everyone's attention. I'm going to try and move forward, so I'm now pointing once again at the back of the ship.
Okay. So you've lined yourself up. It's a bit of a battle of good and evil going on in the sky. You're now glowing like the sun. Okay. And that's the end of your turn.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I can't imagine I get far enough to do what I want to do, so that'll be next round. Fingers crossed.
Okay, cool. So the bird is behind you, still enraged, still enticed by you. You're now glowing. That's extra special. Extra special. They're going to love that. Yeah, they're going to follow you. You've pretty much got them hook, line and sinker at this point. So, end of the round is the golem. The golem, which, somebody give me a number, please.
84.
Thank you. 96. You're good. Okay, so the golem starting its round within the grease will have to make a reflex saving throw, correct? Which is DC 15.
Yes.
Yes, it needs to start its turn with a reflex saving throw of DC 15. Get it right this time.
Okay, and with a 6 plus 2, a grand total of 8, we've stepped on the bar of soap again. And the golem is crashing back down onto the deck, leaving yet again another kind of clayey orange skid mark. So.
Right, okay.
There we go. That is the end of the golem's turn. We are now going into round 8. So, top of the round, Elora.
Ogvar, can you see any more of those nets? Can we see any more nets on the deck anywhere?
Okay, you can make me spot checks. I guess anyone in the area, so Kewin and Eric as well, you can make spot checks, seeing as she's brought particular attention.
So it's 13 plus 7, which is a dirty 20.
Okay.
9 plus 6, 15.
Okay.
11 plus 11, 22.
Okay, and Eric rolled an 8 plus 2, which is 10. So, Kewin, you rolled a 15, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so, taking a quick look around, you cannot see a net. However, what you can see are multiple coils of rope. These look to be relatively long ropes, quite thick, but not thick and heavy enough to be unmanageable by one person.
Elora's going to use the rest of her turn just quickly asking a series of questions. Ogvar, we can see some rope over there. What about your rope of stone? Can we get that round him and haul him off? Probably in her round, that's probably all she's going to manage to get out.
Okay.
Just ideas, I think, is where she's going with this at the moment.
Okay, cool. So that's the end of your round. Ogvar, you're up next. You can respond to Elora.
Okay. Okay, just sorry to derail things ever so slightly for a minute, because this bit will probably have to be chopped out. But I do think I was done short a little bit on the last round with crit damage.
Okay.
So I've got the message up that Sam put on the dice goblins, and it wasn't anywhere near it. So Sam's put, example, a longbow with a D8. Upon a critical hit, the D8 is maximised, so the damage is an auto 8. The weapon, in this case is a longbow, is subject to a times 3 multiplier. Therefore, the 8 equals 3 times, which is 24. Then an additional D8 is rolled for additional crit damage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
No. That's fine. We'll retcon that. So you get the full 24 plus a D8, so roll a D8.
I'm happy to go with the roll I had before, which was
3.
No,
three.
Re-roll it.
3, yeah, 3.
Re-roll it, and if it's lower than 3, we'll discount it.
That was a 6.
Okay, so that's a 30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus your 1 and your 1.
plus my one on one, so yeah, 32.
32. Okay, that sounds a lot better. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just retcon that. That was, yeah, we should have picked up on that one. So yeah, you've actually done 32 points of damage, and you do see it obviously sink really deep into center mass. You can barely see the fletching sticking out. It's a big hit. Okay? Yep.
Okay, and yeah. Does it look like it's done more than the previous ones? Does it look like it's had a bit of an effect now?
Oh yeah. So you can see that obviously it's accumulated little bits of damage here and there, but that is most definitely like the biggest chunk of damage that it's taken so far, you would say.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so we'll go to
That's no problem.
Round 8, your turn. Here we go.
Okay, so yeah, look back at Laura. Yes, let's get those ropes around it and see if we can haul him off again. So, Ogvar will... are the ropes within reach?
You'd be able to grab the ropes and go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll just grab one and sort of try to lasso a bit of it, I suppose.
Okay, so Gollum's currently flat on the deck. So you're going to... So you've picked up a rope, you're making your way down to the foredeck? Were you trying to...
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get close enough. Yeah, I can't do it from up there, so I'll have to get close. Yeah.
Okay, cool. No, so which bit are you going for? Hand, leg, head?
Yeah, I suppose an arm would be a good one. Yeah, go for the arm. Try and restrain it.
Okay, so you're going to try and... So you're going to try and lasso it. Properly going for like the full hidey-high, catching a cow.
Yeah, why not? We'll go full yee-haw on it.
Okay. So you're going to have to make me a dexterity check for that one.
Okay, yeah, straight dex, no
straight
problem.
Straight dex, see what happens.
Low rolls are coming out again. That's a 3 plus a 3 modifier, which can be a 6.
Yeah, you make a lasso and it's kind of like when you watch someone inexperienced try and make a lasso, it kind of flings a bit and then flops a bit and you kind of throw it and it kind of straight up just kind of slaps on top of its limb. So you've got the rope covering the top, however it's not looped around.
Was that slap or plap?
Slap. Slap. Definitely slap. We are not going there again. Okay.
Okay, yeah, so that was a very poor attempt, but an attempt nonetheless.
Okay, so you done with your turn, is that it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I've got no movement left. I couldn't shimmy back up. So, yeah, we'll stay where we are.
As the clapperboard falls on this episode, in a resourceful but last-ditch effort, Allura had resorted to using a burrowing piton to purge some of the gusto from one of their now prone pursuers. With almost everyone lending a helping hand to haul the now netted golem to the starboard side of the ship, their plan to ditch it over the side of the deck, whilst difficult, proved ultimately successful, and they gleefully watched the retreating golem departing for a dose of deep water storage. Kewin's day continued on a downward spiral as he took a pounding from the remaining threat, resulting in the acquisition of a rather unpleasant cursed wound. And, using her empathic connection, Allura suggested to Rowan that his cover was blown and would be very much visible once more. Join us next week in episode 134 for more Shipside Shenanigans. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.